Okay, meeting will come to order. This is Governmental Operations and Veterans Affairs today on April 4th. And apologize for the late start here. There's several other committees that are meeting right now, and I know members have bills up in other committees as today is second deadline date. I know we have a full agenda for today, and it looks like we're probably going to meet on Thursday as well, members. So I'll get you details about that meeting when we finish up here. Let's get started. We have a quorum now. The minutes from the meeting that March 30th. The Representative Ruth Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of the minutes of March 30th.
Okay. Representative Johnson moves approval of the minutes of the March 30th meeting. Any discussion? All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails, and those minutes of the March 30th meeting are approved. Thank you. Okay, members, the first bill up today is Representative Abrams, House File 3268. And I know we have one amendment here, and we're waiting on another amendment. Representative Abrams, Chair, will move that House File 3268 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee. Representative Abrams.
Madam Chair and members, I was told to come back here when it was almost final. It didn't have to be final, and the process, I think, has improved the bill. I have with me Richard Pitzenreiter from the University of Minnesota. This is the Biomedical Science Initiative. If you look in your packets, there is the H3268A3 amendment, which I think gets to a number of concerns that I have heard from members, and let me go through it. Or when I asked Mr. Pitzenreiter to go through it, Madam Chair, I could go through it, or Mr. Pitzenreiter could, but there is criteria in here that has to be part of the application. There is a grant schedule delineated, as well as on the amendment on lines 2.23 to 2.26 makes clear that the appropriation doesn't go on forever. I would like to make two points to somebody from finance who can testify. Number one, there was the question about does the entire $330 million count against the 3% informal limitation on debt? The answer is no. The dollars that are issued count against the 3%, but not the entire 330. So the answer to that is no. The second question that has been asked is, would this affect this biennium? And again, the answer to that is no. The first payment from the tobacco settlement into the Biomedical Science Research Facilities Bond Fund will not be made until October 1st, 2007. So those are two issues that came up here that I think that members were concerned about. And Mr. Pitzenreiter can take you through the rest of the amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay, Chair, we'll officially put the A3 amendment before us, and we'll get some discussion here before we vote on it to put it on the bill. Mr. Pitzenreiter.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the first part of the amendment, beginning on lines 1.2, simply is a technical amendment that also went in on the Senate side on this bill, just to clarify that the definitions in the bill mean the definitions for this bill don't conflict with other parts of the statute. The second amendment is to add the word infrastructure into the definition of the project that was left out by accident in the first draft of the bill. The third part of the amendment is begins really on line 1.7 on page 1, and that adds additional criteria and requirements in response to questions that this committee raised when the bill was here in a prior point in time. Puts additional requirements on the application that the university would submit to the authority. The next part of the amendment, beginning on page or on line 1.20, establishes a limitation on how much the authority may authorize in projects. It is expressed as a percent of the amount outstanding of the $330 million. That ties to the debt service schedule and the timing of these five projects. over the next 10 years, one project every 2 years. The next amendment on page 2, line 2.4, because this is an authorization longer than 4 years, it needs to be exempted from the cancellation requirement. This was a technical amendment, a suggestion, and an important one by the Department of Finance. Then you'll see on line 2.6 a transfer schedule that is consistent with the fiscal note prepared by the Department of Finance on the debt service schedule that relates to the timing of the authority authorizing or approving a project. And I'll stand for questions with that.
Okay, questions for members. Representative Khan.
Madam Chairman and Mr. Pitzenreiter, does this transfer from the tobacco settlement, does that change the tobacco settlement payment in any way? Or where is this money coming from in the tobacco settlement payment?
Mr. Pitzenreiter.
Madam Chair, members, there is an annual payment from the May 8, 1988 settlement agreement that currently goes to the general fund. That payment today is about $175 million, and that payment, of course, goes on forever as long as people keep smoking.
Okay.
Follow-up for a second.
So this is, in a sense, a diversion from the general fund.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes.
Okay. Next up is Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Pitzenreiter. I had actually had a chance to talk to Peggy Ingus and the Commissioner of Finance about this, and she actually preferred, because I was concerned about that it's and thereafter, and that the schedule by which these buildings might come on board could change depending on what's going on in biosciences. And so the rate at which the buildings come on board, the size of the buildings could change, and she actually suggested that that it would be preferable to her, and maybe this is something the Capital Investment Committee should deal with, but to just have it paid out of the general fund, just like all other bond proceeds are handled, and that they would just handle it as the regular course of the debt repayment, and that you wouldn't need to have this kind of a detailed language or even necessarily an identified connection to the tobacco settlement funds, but that rather that would actually give you some flexibility without it looking like in statute we've committed more than maybe we're going to need if the process starts to slow down at some point.
Mr. Pitzenreiter.
Madam Chair, members, the amendment on page 1 beginning on line 1.20 was in response to a question that came up in my discussions with the Commissioner of Finance about moving the debt service payment to what is traditionally the open and standing appropriation. The reason we originally drafted the bill to be an actual debt service payment schedule was to limit the authorizations every 2 years of how much would be allowed. In other words, the transfer of revenue to the dedicated account limited how much the authority could issue and would only allow it to do it every 2 years. The amendment that we're putting on today on line 1.20 does the same thing in terms of limiting the authority so that all $330 million couldn't be issued out of the gate, for example, that it would come in these two-year increments. So with that amendment on, in the Capital Investment Committee, I think we could discuss taking that particular debt service schedule out and transferring it now to a open and standing because there is language, a mechanism now to prevent it from going too fast. That was the concern.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up for Senator Loeffler? Okay. Other questions from members? Okay. Are we ready to vote on the A3 amendment? Any discussion? All in favor of the A3 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay. Representative Abrams, your bill is before us as amended. I know we have another amendment we're going to look at. Do you have any further comments before we move on to that?
I think the bill is in far better shape than was before, Madam Chair, and I really appreciate the good comments that members have made that have led to some, I think, improvements.
Okay, great. Representative Khan.
I've got to make my standing comment every time Representative Abrams brings a bill thrusting more of the university on my neighborhood, that I hope that the concerns of people in the neighborhood will be looked into, that, for example, where there's lots of nice blank industrial and railroad space and so forth between the Minneapolis and the St. Paul campus is the area you're looking at, not looking at taking more of the housing and the businesses and the fire station in the Oak Street area. And I'm also hoping that the university is not going to use in the construction of any of these buildings the powers of eminent domain.
Mr. Fitzgerald.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, to construct all five of these buildings, we own adequate land to the north and east of the stadium site, and we will not need to use eminent domain to acquire any land to construct these buildings.
Okay, and are you paying, Mr. Chairman, are you also paying attention to the St. Paul City Council, City Council's interest in putting a big chunk of student affiliated housing in that area?
Mr. Fitzgerald.
Madam Chair, members, I'm not personally knowledgeable about St. Paul's plans to put housing in that area. We are, for the property that the university owns, we are not building any more housing. We're putting these buildings on our property.
And Madam Chair, the bill also has the possibility, and if you talk to those involved, the probability that at least one of these facilities would be located in Rochester. There's language in the bill for that. And there is an openness, I think, if there is a demand for researchers at UMD to at least look at UMD. So this shouldn't be viewed solely as a Twin City campus initiative.
Okay. We're ready to go to the next minute. Oh, Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Fitzenreiter, on page 3 of the bill that I have before me, 3268, on 3.32, on personal liability, it says members and officers of the authority are not liable for debt or obligations of the authority. If they are not, who is? Or is there no one?
Mr. Fitzgerald.
Madam Chair, members, that language is the state's responsible for the debt that's issued for the stadium, just like any other capital project.
Okay.
Thank you,
Madam Chairman.
Okay, let's go to the A5 amendment. Representative Laffer, I believe that's your amendment.
That is, Madam Chair. Thank you. And
Representative Laffer moves the A5 amendment. Representative Laffer.
I apologize for the handwritten additions at the top, but our staff is working hard and furious, and this is just one of those last-minute issues and deadline day. The handwritten language at the top, what it does is the intent is to add one former legislator from each majority-minority party of the House and Senate. So there would be four former legislators added to the five members of the commission in addition to the four non-voting. The bill as it was originally introduced had four legislators, but they had to become non-voting because the constitutional issue is related to the unique authority that's given here to make decisions. And I was concerned that a five-member group deciding up to $330 million of bonding authority was still a pretty small group. And they were all appointed by the governor, and I thought it was better to try and balance some legislative perspective, just as we would have if it was going through the normal bonding process. And I thought former legislators could provide that. So the handwritten language will provide that the House and the Senate majority and minority parties will appoint both a current and a former legislator to the body. Lines 1.3 and 1.4. It's to address the issue that we discussed at the first hearing, which is making sure that the members of the public authority are public officials for purposes of Chapter 10A, which means that they have to disclose conflicts of interest, economic considerations. Page 3, deleting lines 29 to 31, this is taking away the executive director that's authorized here. The bill clearly provides that the commissioner of deed is to provide support to this. And given that this is only dealing with projected one building every 2 years, I don't think there's a need for a full-time executive director to manage that. The last item is, and I'll look forward to hearing Representative Abrams' response to this, but I was concerned in the original bill that there was really no reporting back and that there wasn't any criteria. So this would say that the authority will report back to the legislature each odd-numbered year on the implementation project since the last report and on plans for the upcoming years, that we'll always sort of have a sense of what's going on here. And that I had recommended that the first report shall recommend criteria by which proposals, plans, and grant applications will be evaluated. I think I could probably delete that last sentence based on the language we just adopted in the Abrams suggested amendment, but I welcome the author's input.
Representative Abrams.
Madam Chair, I think that this amendment improves the bill greatly. The idea of getting somebody of the stature of Peggy Lepick or Dee Long or Nancy Gratis or Glenn Taylor or Roger Moe involved, well, maybe not Roger, but you know, some of the former members involved probably would strengthen the authority greatly. I think that making certain that there's no conflicts of interest because of Chapter 10A, I think, again, that strengthens the bill, and there really is no need for an executive director. I would suspect that it would be staffed either by individuals from the University of Minnesota or staff from the Department of Finance would probably do it. I don't envision letterhead with, you know, some sort of fancy left-hand listing of members and the whole nine yards. It shouldn't necessarily be that formal structure. And I do think that accountability and having this authority come back to the legislature on a biannual basis is a really good idea. So I would urge members to support the amendment.
Okay. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the amendment, I just want to ask my neighbor here whether these would be voting or non-voting members.
Representative Laffer.
Madam Chair, the intent is that the former legislators would be voting, but the current legislators, because of the constitutional issue I mentioned, could not be.
Okay. Now, Representative Laffer, you had mentioned perhaps deleting the last line of your amendment. Are you looking at that, or just keep it as is?
Madam Chair,
yeah, the last line really.
Representative Abrams.
Madam Chair, I don't view the authority as having, or the statute having a monopoly on criteria, although I kind of view that as redundant given the criteria that's earlier in the bill, and I would suspect in the report there would be a great deal of detail as to how applications would be evaluated. So I really do think that that last sentence probably is kind of like an appendix that doesn't serve. You know, it doesn't serve any purpose, but it doesn't do any harm unless it gets inflamed.
Madam Chair, I mean, because of the original author's amendment, we have established some outline of criteria in the bill now that wasn't there originally. I'd be glad to take out the last sentence on my amendment that would be the sentence that reads, the first report shall recommend criteria by which proposals, plans, and grant applications will be evaluated. And so I'd delete that from my amendment.
Okay, Representative Laffer
has
incorporated that as part of her A5 amendment with deletion of that final sentence. Okay, anything further on the A5 amendment? Representative Kahn, is it to the A5?
No.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Anybody else? Okay, Representative Laffer renews her motion on the A5 amendment with the incorporations. All in favor of the A5, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, we have a list here to the bill as amended. First up is Representative Wardlaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Abrams, I was just looking at the back of the original bill, page 6, and the back side of your amendment, A3, talking about the transfer amount from tobacco settlement. And I noticed that for the years 2007 and 2008, it's the old bill is $7.2 million, the new bill is $8.6 million. The old bill is $8.6 million, the new bill is $7.2 million, went down six-tenths million. And then for the years 9 and 10, the old bill said 18.2, now it's 24.6, and so on and so forth. So it's an increase of $42.1 million overall from comparing the two. Can you just speak to that?
Mr. Fitzenreiter Camp, I think the short story is the difference between the spreadsheets of the Department of Finance and the university.
Mr. Fitzenreiter?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the numbers in the amendment that went on reflect the fiscal note prepared by the Department of Finance, in which they run amortization schedules for debt repayment based on a policy of paying 70% of the principal off in the first 10 years. The schedule that I used did it more like a home mortgage. So the finance department's 3% debt policy guideline requires a faster, more accelerated principal payoff than other types of loans. And it's simply part of the debt management guidelines of the state. So it pays it off in front faster, and it's less payment in years 10 through 20.
Okay. Representative Wardlow, any follow-up?
Oh, thank you.
Okay, next up, Representative Kahn.
Yes. Madam Chairman and Representative Abrams, I finally did find it, but I was looking on this A1 amendment in between 1.7 to 1.19 and looked at all the good things that was going to happen, and there wasn't one word in it that said you were going to do any good for the world, that you were going to benefit public health, that you were going to cure disease. I spent years writing grants before I was in the legislature for the American Cancer Society, and the first line always was that I was going to find a cure for cancer. But the, I did find, so there are three words, going back to read the beginning of the bill, I did find three words on lines 1.12 that says that you're going to benefit human health. But somehow I think that those three lines ought to be repeated in all these much more mercurial things that you're going to do in lines 1.7 to 1.19.
Representative Abrams.
As this bill goes along, I'm sure that there will be other suggestions. I would point out that on line 14, an assessment of the likelihood of public benefits from the project included. But that doesn't...
It doesn't...
Exclusively.
I'd like to have it also include benefiting public health. As I said, there's nothing here except employment and finances, something like that. And I was just always brought up to think that biomedical research had some value beyond just enhancing the financial bottom line of the state.
Madam Chair, we can put benefiting public health on line 1.15 after including benefiting public health.
Okay.
The other thing that was commented on earlier in another committee that probably ought to be folded in, cost effective.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
And I don't know quite where we would put that, but if all you're doing is coming up with research that nobody can afford,
well,
products that nobody can afford, that isn't a very good result either. So,
except that the problem with that is if you look at the history of medical research, that's such a transient thing. And so, at one point nobody could have afforded a pacemaker. At one point probably nobody could have afforded a polio vaccination.
Well, what I would suggest is members on line 1.15, after the word including, put in benefit public health. And line 1.17, commercially successful, and after successful, put in and affordable. And that would, I think, beef up the twin concerns that I've heard.
Representative Kahn, would you like to do that oral amendment on behalf of the author? Okay. And Mr. Shepard, do you have that? Can we just get that repeated quickly? Mr. Shepard.
Madam Chair and members, my understanding is on page 1, line 15, after including, insert, benefiting public health and then on page 1, line 17, after successful, insert, and affordable.
Mm-hmm. Representative Kahn?
That's okay.
Okay. Any discussion on the oral amendment? All in favor of Representative Kahn's oral amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay. Any other questions from members? And is there anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? House File 3268 as amended. Okay. Representative Abrams, you get the last pitch here before we vote on your bill.
Only three more stops before the floor, Madam Chair. We first have to go to capital investment, then we have to go to ways and means, and then we probably have to take the slight detour to the Rules Committee. So I told President Brunig that between this and the stadium bill, I'm going to ask for tenure.
There you go.
Madam Chair and Representative Abrams, while it may have significantly increased your workload here, I suspect it pales in comparison to the work that would be involved in bringing each of these projects through the normal process.
Yeah. Okay, with that, Chair renews the motion that House File 3268, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Capital Investment Committee. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails, and the bill goes to capital investment. Thank you, Representative Abrams.
Thank you.
Okay, members, just a reminder, we have session at noon today, so we have about 45 or 50 minutes left of committee here. The next bill up, Representative Paymar's House File 147, we got word this morning that he is pulling that bill. He does not want a hearing on that bill today, so you can put that bill away. And then the next bill up is Representative Stevens' bill. If you'd like to come down, please. And Representative Aaron Peterson, I see that you're a co-author on this bill.
Good
Representative Peterson.
Chair. I'd like to move this bill in front of the committee.
Okay, Representative Aaron Peterson moves that House File 2944 be recommended to pass to the General Register. And I see there is an A1 amendment. Let's first get some information about the bill. Representative Stephen, welcome to the committee, and please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill simply provides for a study of the use of credit and debit cards for transactions with state and local governments. The study participants are outlined in the bill, but they would be the Departments of Finance, Public Safety, Natural Resources, and representatives of the League of Minnesota Cities, the Association of Minnesota Counties, the Deputy Registrar's Association, and the Minnesota Association of County Auditors, Treasurer, and Finance Officers if we adopt the A1 amendment. So the bill really just provides for a study that aims to make government more consumer-friendly. As members know, government practices sometimes lag behind private sector financial practices, and this bill would allow for a study to look into the benefits of allowing for the use of credit and debit cards from both the consumer and government view. And Madam Chair, perhaps at this time we could hear from Gary Spooner, who is a representative of the Deputy Registrar's Association.
Thank you. Representative Stephen, were you looking at the A1 amendment? I didn't know if that was on your suggestion. We could have somebody from the committee move it, or?
Yes, please. That would put
okay.
the bill in the shape
Representative
of the form
Peterson? First. Would you like to move the A1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move in A1.
Okay. And Representative Stephen, is this to basically get the bill in the shape that you'd like?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. All in favor of Representative Aaron Peterson's motion on the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. Okay, Representative Stephen, your bill is in front of us as amended, and your testifiers, please identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, for the record, my name is Gary Spooner. I'm Deputy 107 in Cottage Grove and Chair of the Minnesota Deputy Registrar's Legislative Committee. The problem that Deputy Registrars have is that the checkbook is going the way of the buggy whip. And when people come in and want to pay for their taxes, their registration taxes, they would like to use plastic. And right now we can't accept it, mainly because if we did, the clearinghouses for debit cards and credit cards is about 3%, which would eat up any type of profit that we would have or any type of budget that we have to run our offices. So this would greatly help us find a way in which to help the public pay for their registration or anything else that we do in our offices with a plastic card.
Okay. Any other testifier? Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Keith Carlson. I'm Executive Director of the Metropolitan Intercounty Association, which consists of the five collar counties here in the Twin City metropolitan area and eight greater Minnesota counties with either large cities or rapidly urbanizing areas. Following up on Mr. Spooner's and Representative Stevens' comments, this basically is addressing the fact that checkbooks are going out of vogue. I think many of you have gone to places of business which basically refuse to receive or accept checks anymore. So people are more and more relying on a piece of plastic, a debit card or a credit card for their day-to-day transactions. Contrast that with when they come to the counter at a government office, sometimes with they may be our deputy registrar's offices where we have elected to allow those functions, or perhaps in other offices within our counties. And they come to pay a permit or a license or a service fee, and they reach for their credit card or debit card, and we say, sorry, we can't accept that. You'll have to pay by cash or check, frequently leading to very angry consumers because they don't have a check on them or they don't have sufficient cash to pay for that transaction. The one exception to this is that if they go online, for example, to purchase their tabs for their cards, they can in fact use credit cards because the industry for frankly, a reason that escapes me, allows a separate service fee to be imposed on online transactions. They don't allow such service fees to be imposed on in-person transactions, being somewhat discriminatory, in my point of view, for those who are not computer literate, or particularly the elderly. This bill would be an attempt to identify the means and cost of addressing what is becoming a more and more pressing issue for doing business with governments in the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Carlson, so to that point, talking about the in-person and online, I'm looking at line 119 of the bill, wondering if it'd be perhaps appropriate to have language in there following for in-person, add the words, and online transactions. I don't know if you wanted to specifically be looking at that or...
Madam Chair, as I said, the practices of the credit card industry right now is to allow a separate service charge if it applies to all transactions that occur on that particular website. So when you go to the DPS website to purchase your tabs, if you elect to use a credit card to make that payment, they do impose a separate service charge, so it does not seem to be an issue. The same is true with the Department of Revenue. If you go online to pay your taxes, they are allowed to pay a service charge. So I don't have any problems with including online transactions, but it's not currently an issue because the governmental unit can cover their costs.
Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair, I actually think that's a good addition, though, because I think the task force should really look at whether or not there should be a difference. And it could be that you decide to waive the fee in both places, or it's the same fee in both places. I think the issue of that Mr. Carlson brought up of treating people differently who use one method versus another, I think probably something the task force should talk about.
Representative Loeffler, do you want to move that oral amendment?
Sure.
Loeffler.
I would move on page one. I'm just trying to get to where you pointed it out.
Line 19,
where it says in person, add after that, and online transactions. So the sentence would read, the task force shall study the advantages and disadvantages of the use of credit and debit cards for in-person and online transactions with state and local governments.
And Representative Loeffler, I'm looking at line 22 on page 1 as well, wondering if maybe it fits there.
We did.
In addition to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, and on line 22 after in-person, add and online.
Okay, Representative Loeffler has moved that oral amendment. Representative Stephen, what's your opinion of that?
I think that's a great amendment.
Okay.
Madam Chair, thank you, Representative Loeffler.
Any discussion? Okay, Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, members, I'm thinking of a telephone account I used to file my sales tax report. Used to, anyhow, the 800 number. And the ability maybe when I drop my pay or my check for my taxes on the 15th to be able just to drop a credit card number on a form. What I'm getting at is if we just make it in person or online, are we cutting out some other transactions that could possibly be happening? Can we modify that amendment so that it just includes all transactions between taxpayers or licensees or what have you? And the government. So is that getting beyond the scope of what this task force is tasked to do?
Representative Stephen.
Madam Chair and Representative Beard, I think the intent of the task force is to look at all different types of transactions that that could be used or where credit cards could or debit cards could be used. So perhaps we could just strike the words in person and online, and then it would just the intent of the bill, I would say, is to look at all of those issues.
Representative Baird has always had good insights here. I withdraw my amendment and propose instead that we...
Okay, Representative Loeffler withdraws her first oral amendment and offers this oral amendment.
Instead that on line in line 19, page 1, we delete in person, and on line 22 of page 1, we delete in person.
Let's go to Mr. Shepherd, and I'm wondering if we need to say for all transactions. Do we need anything before the word transactions? So it's in three places. Mr. Shepherd.
Madam Chair, members, I'm sorry I had to step out of the room for a minute, but did you want to delete in person on line 7 as well?
Yes.
Yes.
So, Representative Loeffler, so could you read one of those sentences and how it would read? Representative Loeffler.
Okay, I'll read the first sentence starting on line 6 of page 1. There's created a task force to study the use of credit and debit cards for transactions with state and local governments where payment is for, and then it lists the different types of fees.
Okay. And so that affects three different lines. Any discussion on the Loeffler Earl Amendment? Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, I think that does... open up the field for this task force then to look at any and all transactions where citizens are trying to interact with government and trying to use plastic, whether it's a business, whether it's a personal application or what have you. I think that leaves the field wide open to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish.
Thank you.
And I tip my hat to you. Thanks for bringing this forward.
Okay. Representative Haas.
Yeah, as a past county commissioner, I also would praise you for bringing this bill forward. It is really hard to get government updated, but the online transactions on the 24/7 basis for companies as well as general citizens is really where it's at. And every time you push this, you push efficiency, cost savings, and doing a business a lot faster and a lot quicker. So thank you.
Okay, let's vote on the Loeffler oral amendment. Does anybody need it repeated? Okay, to Representative Loeffler's oral amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, now to House File 2944 as amended. Questions for members? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Stephen. I also like this bill, but My question is, on line 1.2, you're talking about having from both the government and the consumer's point of view, but I don't see anybody proposed to be on this task force that represents the consumer's point of view here. For example, you know, you could potentially have somebody at least from the Attorney General's office who works on consumer issues, or somebody from legal services who works on consumer issues. Have you given any thought to that?
Representative Stephen.
Madam Chair and Representative Lieben, I think you raised a good point, and you know, if you'd be willing to move an amendment to add someone from, for instance, the Attorney General's office, I would certainly be agreeable with that if the members of the committee are as well.
Representative Liebling, is that what you'd like to do? Representative Liebling moves the following oral amendment.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I actually, if Mr. Shepherd could help me, I don't exactly know who to put in there. I don't think I want to just put in a blanket somebody from the Attorney General's office. I'd like to focus it more on somebody who has expertise in consumer matters.
Add that one. And Representative Liebling, maybe there's like a representative of a, like a consumer debt nonprofit organization, something along that line.
Something along that line too. And is this going, Madam Chair? Is this going to other committees?
Right now, the motion is to go to the General Register on the floor. Like they're conferring on.
I don't know if Mr. Shepherd could suggest some language that might allow for selection of a consumer
type person. Madam Chair and Representative Liebling and members, I mean, one possibility, since the Commissioner of Public Safety is convening this, would be to have Commissioner of Public Safety designate one or more representatives of whatever you stated, of consumer interests or of consumers.
Oh, Madam Chair.
Representative Liebling.
Representative Ruth Johnson just suggested to me some language that I think would be better than that, and that is that we put in here a representative of the consumer division of the Office of the Attorney General. If Mr. Shepherd thinks that that would work.
And where would that go?
What do you think? I think we'd put that in as a number 8. Now, we've got, in the amendment that was adopted, we have a 7 already, and so it would go after number 7, which is now somewhere between line 1.15 and line 1.16 on the bill.
And they'll renumber that, yeah.
And it would be read 8, a representative from the Consumer Division of the Office of the Attorney General.
Okay, and that is Representative Liebling's oral amendment. Representative Bierne, did you have something to this point?
I'm just going to, Madam Chair and members, I'm just going to point out that the Department of Commerce is also tasked with looking out for consumer interests, and I wondered if they'd have someone, but you know what? Maybe if we have a consumer rep from the AG's office, that'll be sufficient.
Okay. To this oral amendment, Representative Wardlow.
Later.
Okay, we'll come back to you. To Representative Liebling's oral amendment. And Representative Liebling, if you could just repeat it one more time before we vote. Representative Liebling.
After what is now subdivision, in subdivision 1, sub 7, we would add a sub 8, and it would read, a representative of the consumer division of the Office of the Attorney General.
Okay. Representative Stephen?
No, that sounds great, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the Liebling oral amendment? All in favor of that amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, now, Representative Wardlow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just looking at the backside on line 2.1. The report goes to the 2007 legislature. Is everyone okay with the open-endedness of that date?
Representative Stephen.
Madam Chair and Representative Wardlow, you know, if you would like a more specific date, we can certainly insert that. But, you know, sort of up to you, I guess, is what I would say.
I'm
not real sure on how long the report will take, but I think by having it, you know, by listing the 2007 legislature, it doesn't make it open-ended. There needs to be some action relatively.
I understand. Every time we have a report, it seems like there's a specific date, mm-hmm. and sometimes if there's no specific date, maybe the report will get delayed and delayed and delayed. And if the 2007 legislature is going to act on it, maybe the date should be definitely before it ends.
Representative Wardlow, did you want to propose an oral amendment to line 2.1?
I've seen
January 15th, I've seen February 1st.
January 15th, perhaps.
Representative Wardlow moves the following oral amendment. Representative Wardlow.
I would say January or February 1st, just to give them a little more time.
And Mr. Shepard?
If the author's okay.
Where does that get inserted then? Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair, members, as I understand the intent, after the words legislature on line 2.1, you would insert by February 15th, 2007? February 1st, 2007.
Okay, and that's Representative Wardlow's oral amendment. Do we need that repeated? Okay. And Representative Seedlin?
That sounds okay. Good to me. Thank you.
All right. Representative Wardlow's oral amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Boy, we are just loving your bill here.
Like this.
Let's see. There's a couple people who haven't offered oral amendments yet. Come on, it's your last chance. Okay, and is there anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Okay. Representative Stephen, you get the last word before we vote. Representative Stephen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, for your consideration, and we look forward to getting you the results of this study next year, and we can take another look at it after we get this study.
Okay. With that, Representative Aaron Peterson renews his motion that House File 2944, as amended, be recommended to pass to the General Register. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails, and bill goes to General Register. Thank you, Representative Stephen.
Thank you.
Next up is Representative Kahn. Where's your bill going? Okay.
Minimal extent.
And members, there's at least one handout in your folder on Representative Kahn's bill. And as she's coming forward. Oh, okay. Another handout coming around. Chad. Okay, Representative Kahn moves that House File 3974 be recommended to pass to the General Register.
Yes.
Representative Kahn.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman and members. I promised I would take very little time, so I'm going to immediately switch to Mr. Lee Harrell, who has worked on this for years and years and is an expert on the issues of class. We're passing around a catalog. We don't have copies of this for everybody. We're also passing around an immediate blink test where you get to see how fast you can find the Minnesota flag on the handout that's coming to it. And I'd now like to turn to Mr. Harrell and to talk about why we should do this.
Mr. Harrell, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Lee Harrell. I'm a CPA, and my interest in the state flag has led me to open a flag store, which I have in Rochester. And I have talked, worked on this issue a long time. My concern is I've talked to lots of groups about flags in general, not just the state flag. And I always ask the question at the end, can you describe Minnesota flag? And about one person in ten can describe it fairly well. A few think it has a state seal on. A few say it has an Indian, a farmer, on it. About half say it's blue with a white circle. And there's a few, one or two out of ten probably, that say, I didn't know we had a flag. And I'm a born Minnesotan. I was born in St. Paul. And I really think that's our state flag is important. And you can test this yourself. You can go out into the streets and ask people, you know, describe the state flag, and you'll get very similar answers. if the public doesn't respond to the flag, I think it's only fair to look at the design. I've got a copy of the flag here. Not a copy, I've got the flag here. I think it has a yellow circle. It has a ring of dots. Most people wouldn't recognize this as a bowl. It just has things on that aren't helpful to communicate Minnesota. And I think it's only fair to have a look at it. It's pretty, but it's not really effective. Yeah. There are flag principles that help in design. Simplicity, focus, and other design elements that would help. A simple flag might save money. It could save up to 30% for flags. It wouldn't cost money because you can use old flags. Then when the flag is changed, the old ones can be used as long as they're serviceable. We've had this flag a long time. It's had opportunity to become popular. I don't believe it is popular. And I think it's fair to look at a new design. There has been support. The Minneapolis Star Tribune, St. Paul Pioneer Press, Mankato Free Press, Worthington Daily Globe, Rochester Post Bulletin, the Upton Reader have endorsed looking at the flag. And this bill is a modest bill. It asks for three representatives and three senators to look at the flag. I encourage you to consider that. And thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members, for your attention and for allowing me to come and talk to you about this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And I guess we'll just answer any questions. One of my favorite in the magazine that we're print, besides the colored handout, and we really ought to make a pitch for color, all of us to have color printed at our desks, so it's not so hard to get these things. I think the rest of the world does that, and we should have it too. That's a separate issue, though. But one of the ones in the magazine with the flyers inside that I'm passing around, one of the interesting ones is the one that lists the five best flags in the country and the five worst flags in the country, of which we make the five worst list. And the one that I really miss and that I really want to work into our opportunity is, you know, we have the Alaska flag, which is one of my favorite flags, which is this Big Dipper and the North Star, which should have been ours. We had 100 years to beat them to it, and we didn't do it. And the other interesting thing about how they designed that flag was they did it through a statewide contest, and this design was designed by a 13-year-old boy, I think an Eskimo boy who lived actually in a state institution. And he was the winner of the Alaska design competition, which makes the best one. So there are lots of ways that this task force could decide to do it. My colleague, Representative Seifert, who said he likes his flag, suggested that maybe that's a question that we should put on the state fair questionnaire too, and get some idea. So, you know, it's obviously not the issue of the session or the decade or whatever, but I think it would be nice to move ahead on it with it, starting with at least the legislators who are interested in working on it, then able to use volunteers like Mr. Harold, who will give them all the help they need to come up with some good criteria. So we'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Kahn, and I think we have a couple of questions from the committee. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn and Mr. Harold. I'm looking at lines 1.7 and 1.8, and it's the makeup of the committee, and I'm wondering if you would be willing to go along with an oral amendment to this point. And what I would suggest is that we delete three members and insert two members of the majority caucus and two members of the minority caucus. And I would move that because we don't know what's going to happen in the next election cycle, and I would really like to see this task force be very bipartisan and come back with a bipartisan recommendation. And so, Representative Kahn and Mr. Harold, would you be open to changing this, the makeup of this committee?
Representative Kahn.
I would certainly be open to it. I don't think that this is a partisan, this is the kind of thing
right.
that's going to have partisan size.
Representative Welty, to that point.
All right. Then, Chair Severson, I would move to on lines 1.7 and on lines 1.8, where it says three members, delete three members and insert the language two members of the majority caucus and two members of the minority caucus.
And Representative Welty moves his motion. Does everybody have that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay. And Representative Kahn, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, you took one. You fixed, did you fix both of them
yes.
in that motion?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Shepard, did you get that amendment?
Okay.
Okay. Any further questions from committee? Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Kahn, I was just wondering on the report that's due next January with recommendations, is your expectation that they actually would have a revised design proposal or just a recommendation how to proceed? And I'll tell you that my thought is that if we're going to do this, let's do it with the sesquicentennial celebration in 2008, and I like the idea that you mentioned of how other states solicited ideas from children and others. We've got a lot of talented artists in our state. So I'm wondering if the recommendation that you envision next January is just a process or if you're actually envisioning presenting a design.
Representative Kahn.
I think that would be up to the task force. You know, I think they could discuss, but the idea of coming up with the competition is kind of interesting to me, and I would just let them work on it. I haven't thought enough about what's the best route, and the idea of having a new flag for the sesquicentennial is really, is that 2009, 2008?
It's 2008.
Okay. Might be a little quick, but...
Okay. Representative Seifert, you had a question.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we won't, you know, the history of this place is you only set up a task force if you actually want to change something. So, you know, my guess is that if we as a body seriously think that the state flag is obsolete or whatever other insulting terms have been used about it, then you're going to vote for this bill. But frankly, I don't think that the flag in my office or the one that flies outside my house or the one on top of this building is ugly or obsolete. I think it's a good flag. The reason I suggested it go on the state fair ballot is I believe it would get voted down by a large margin by the general public. And we know how the public operates. The government buildings, the counties, the school districts are not going to fly outdated flags in front of their buildings. They're going to feel compelled to replace every flag in this state from the city hall to the county courthouse, and then they're going to say, is that all you guys have time to do is screw around with stuff that's working already, including every flag that's in every hearing room in this building. We're not going to have obsolete flags in every hearing room in the state capitol building. I think anyone with an ounce of common sense knows that. We're going to say, well, we're the legislature, and we have outdated flags in our state office building, and throw them all in the garbage. There's probably thousands of them that are around the state right now, either in private homes or buildings. You know, I just, with all due respect to everyone who's interested in changing the flag, I don't think you're trying to fix something that's not broken here. And if it's got some Confederate bars on it or something, I can understand, but we don't have that situation in our flag. And I don't think we should be doing it. And Representative Earhart had the same bill about 8 years ago, and rightfully it did not pass, and I don't believe this one should either.
Representative Kahn.
Well, I would think part of the task force ought to be what the cost of the flag, you know, they can get put out what those costs are and who's going to pay it and so forth. And, you know, I don't know, there are certain people who, we can see what happened whenever an American flag was changed. how long it took people to change them. I think it is an option, and I think to move into the task force report is not saying that we are going to change the flag. And I think that those issues, you'll be able to maybe even be appointed to the task force, Representative Stephen.
Well, Representative Kahn, I think that, we had this discussion, if you remember the Earhart bill that did a similar thing. And he talked about, we had the sales catalogs from the flag people, and, I'm not going to cast aspersions on people, but it's not an ironic fact that someone who sells flags would say, well, we're going to have a new flag, and we're going to sell thousands of new flags. I mean, it's kind of like changing anything where you're going to be selling a commodity and there's going to be a demand for that product as a result of changing the law. So, think about some of this stuff, members. I don't think the average person in our district is sitting around thinking, I really think that flag's bad. I get compliments. I have a Minnesota flag outside of my house that flies below the American flag, and I get a lot of compliments on how nice it looks and so on and so forth. And I just simply think that this is really unnecessary.
Representative Olson. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Seifert, I appreciate your comments. You're absolutely right that if we really want the flag changed, we should support this bill, and that's what this bill represents. And now that I'm speaking against the bill, neither you nor I qualify any longer to be on this task force. So that's the nature of what this represents, because it is about changing the flag. What concerns me about it, Representative Kahn, is the question, which state flag is Minnesota's, and the reasons stated for changing the flag. I'm not proud of the fact that I don't know the entire history of every aspect of our very sophisticated and intelligent-looking flag. Our state is known for education, and this flag represents our state. And I'm not proud of the fact that I don't know that entire history. I'd like to know if you know the entire history of all the different components of the flag, which I believe all have meaning about our heritage and history. Because I'd like to know if you know what we're giving up. Representative Kahn?
Well,
Representative Kahn.
Chairman, what I said is that I have a much more simpler mind, and that's why I'm really sorry we didn't take the Alaska flag, because I understand what that is, and I know where to find it. I even know where to find it now, as it's just appearing above the horizon now in that. So, I'm not into complex issues, but I think if you read what the task force is, I don't think it's predetermined that the task force will go to the simplicity of design that I would like. And I would hope that whoever appoints the members of the task force would appoint someone who is going to represent a position that would say, we really shouldn't change it. It's important to keep everything that's in it as it is. Because I think with that kind of discussion is the best way we make the decision. But I would like, Mr. Harrell would like to answer the
Mr. Harrell.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, first of all, I wouldn't make any money on the change of the flag, and I would be willing to turn over 100% of my profits in order to get this done. And it's a state pride issue, and if the flag were wildly popular, I would not be here. But I think if you go out and talk to the public, out in the streets, and ask people the question I asked, what does a flag look like, you find that support is not strong. There is, of course, any state symbol, there is an automatic reflex, no, we should not change it. But if you look at it a little longer, I think you'll see that it could be a very effective tool to promote the state. And I don't think it is an effective tool as it's designed. Yes, it has a lovely history, and it's pretty. But as a flag, not as a piece of art, but as a flag, it's not as effective as it could be.
Members, we have a few other members with questions, and we have one more bill to get on as we go here, so I'd ask if we could be brief. And Representative Demmer has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to put in a plug for Mr. Harold's Flag Store. I've been there. If you need a flag, you've got them. I mean, it's absolutely amazing what's in there. Size, shapes, colors, international, state, local. I mean, they're all there. It's an incredible place. Welcome, Mr. Harold. Comment on the bill itself. I'm going to redirect my comments a bit to Representatives Olson and Seifert. And I disagree somewhat from the standpoint that I think just because we set some people up to look at this, I don't think it predetermines what the outcome is. I don't think it necessarily means we have to make the change. You know, I think sometimes it's okay to look at these sorts of things. Representative Seifert, you mentioned that your neighbors and the people out there are talking every day about changing the flag. Well, I would question whether people out there are talking about anything we talk about here on an everyday basis. you know, I think that's probably a fair statement that you made, but I think we're here in this committee. We do deal with these issues. We don't deal with education. We don't deal with bonding. We don't deal with transportation. We deal with things like this. So I think it's not a waste of our time to do these sorts of things, and it's not it's a 20-minute time frame. And quite frankly, Representative Olson, I think maybe you and Representative Seifert may be exactly the type of people that should be on this committee. So it's my opinion. I'm not the speaker, as you know. So I do have one quick question, though. Representative Kahn, in 1983, I think, is when this is last changed. I think this is in your purview yet in the legislature. Do you remember that time? And could you give us a 30-second background on it, about the change that was made at that time or whatever?
Mr. Chairman, I don't remember. It wasn't a very striking change. It's interesting that the major change, learning more about this than I expected I ever would, was done before I got there, before most of the people on this committee, or many of the people on this committee, were born. That was in 1957, apparently. We had a flag that was white on one side and blue on the other side, and apparently looked just beautiful when it was flying as it changed from blue to white as you looked at it. And apparently the reason that was changed, one of the reasons that was changed, was that it was too expensive to produce the flag with the different color on each side. So.
Representative Demmer, follow up.
Final comment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, there's no money in here. We're not paying anybody to do this. I think if there are six legislators out there that want to spend some time talking about this with some people who are interested in flags, I'm not presupposing that I'm going to support a change in our flag in January of 07 if I'm here. But I think if they want to put some time in and volunteer their time, there's no cost here to the state. I don't see any reason not to support this.
Representative Beard.
Pass, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hawes.
Thank you, Chair. I've had opportunities for competing with many teams in interstate competition where we competed under the Minnesota flag. And other states were very appreciative of that flag, and also the athletes competing from this state did some respect. So I think there is a lot of tradition involved here. And I think we're pretty much guessing at what the population of Minnesota thinks about the flag. And I would hope that a do-nothing is also a very good option in this study.
Anybody from the audience who would like to testify for or against this bill? Representative Liebling. Please, sir, if you'd like to come down to the podium.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just wanted to make a couple comments here. First of all, the issue about the state seal, I just want to say it's my understanding that, to Representative Olson's comments, that the state seal is still a state seal. It doesn't go away as an object to be understood and recognized. It's really the question is just, does it make an effective visual element on a flag? I think that we need to separate those two things. I also want to respond just briefly to Representative Seifert. I don't think anybody here is saying that it's an ugly flag. In fact, I think I heard that, you know, there's kind of a general recognition that it's a beautiful flag. But again, I don't think that's really the question here. So then to the issue of whether it's broken and we should leave it alone. Others have said it, but I just want to add my voice to this too, that I think that that's kind of the question that is to be studied. And I think that this is even though it's not an earth-shaking kind of issue, I think it is an important issue, because if we can have a symbol that's more effective, that people recognize, that makes us feel proud, I mean, I think that that's something that we should at least be willing to take a look at, when the look doesn't even cost us anything. So I'm going to support this bill.
Thank
Thank you, sir. Welcome to the committee, and if you would state your name for the record, and you can begin your testimony. You can have a seat there, sir.
My name is William Bates. I'm from Plainview, Minnesota. I'm a World War II veteran. I like our flag very, very much. And I have only one comment. I disagree with Mr. Harold on him not making any money on the change of flag. I was in business in our company for 52 years, and you don't sell anything unless you make a profit. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Bates. Any questions from the members? Representative Olson.
Thank you. Just to finish my comments, I appreciate members' comeback. I want to reiterate my concern is that as I asked the question of both Mr. Harold and Representative Kahn, what really is the history of the flag? I think it's meritorious that the author of this bill and the advocates for this bill should know the detailed history of our flag before they advocate changing it. And I've not had a response. And the question being raised as a reason to support this is, for example, this sheet here. Which state flag is Minnesota's? Well, what this is really a concern about is our educational system. We're the education state. If you look at this other sheet that's been handed out, people don't recognize it. It has no message. Well, if we know the history, it has a message. I do know it is similar to the Alaska flag in the respect that it says we're the Star of the North. They show themselves to be a Star of the North, but we say we're the Star of the North. So there's a message. And there's more to it than that. And again, I'm embarrassed that I don't know it all myself, but I believe before I can vote for this bill, I need to know that so I know what we are turning our backs on, because it is a landmark for our state, just as the flag of the United States is a landmark for our country. And we shouldn't turn our back on those old ancient landmarks unless we know what they really mean.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Harold.
If I may, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I can go over every detail on the flag if you like. I was just not trying to take up the committee's time, but yes, I could discuss every item on that, of the 20 or 30 symbols that are on that flag.
I want to know it, Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
I don't know if we have time for it today.
We do not have time for that today.
And I'd be happy to go over it, and I'd love to learn it, because I love learning about our history.
I would love to meet with you anytime.
Thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? No other testifiers? Representative Kahn, would you like to renew your motion? Oh, I have one testifier behind you. Thank you.
My name is Edward Glenn Gilbert. I'm a resident of Blaine, Minnesota, and I come here just representing myself as a citizen of Minnesota.
Welcome to the committee.
I think there's been some really good points made about the flag. I don't think there's anything objectionable about the flag, but there's really nothing. I don't think people think about the flag much at all. Most of the time when you see the flag, you see it like well, you don't usually see it like that. You see it draped. And it's a beautiful work of art, but it's not effective as a flag. The only place I ever see the Minnesota flag is on a government building. If I drive through my neighborhood, I see more Green Bay Packer flags than I see Minnesota flags. And so I think the point of all the history that's in the seal is right on the mark. But this is a flag.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Closing remarks, Representative Kahn?
I don't have any. I think comments have been good. I would hope that the task force would have people who want no change or want to keep elements in as much as possible. I think it never hurts us to talk about things, and I think this gives a chance for the people who would like to do it in depth and utilize the expertise of people like Mr. Harrell.
Representative Peterson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm just going to say I'm going to vote against it. You know, I think you're going to start a palace revolt if you were to start out with some kind of an educational process that would incorporate people about what's in the flag and why we have it and where it came from, so you started to get some buy-in. But I think if you just start having a committee that's going to redesign the flag, our emails are going to go into overload. And I'm not ready to open that box.
I think he's got a good point. I'd rather see a groundswell with some group come up with a petition. You know, I like Representative Seifert's idea about a questionnaire at the fair, but if we had a group of people just saying, hey, let's look at changing the flag instead of just we deciding up here we should look at it, it would be more meaningful to me.
Thank to Representative Wardlow. Any other questions from committee members, comments? Seeing none, Representative Kahn would like to remove her motion that House File 3974 be passed and referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No. Aye.
The nays have it. Representative Kahn, apologize, but...
Division
being called. All those in favor of Representative Kahn's bill, raise your hand, please. And all those opposed?
Okay.
Oh, my ears are good.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. Welcome, Representative Tingestad, to your committee, and if you'd like to move your bill.
Mr. Chair, given the time, I think it's better that we don't start the bill. This is a bill that we've laid over a few times already, so we will be having committee meeting on Thursday during our normal time at 10:15. So we'll hear this bill. I think there's, you know, like 7, 8, 9 amendments, so it'll take a little while. And there's also another bill on redistricting that is coming through that is going to have a hearing, but actually no action this session. So beyond the Thursday meeting during our normal time, we may be meeting one additional time this session, depending on other issues that are moving through. With this legislative reform bill, House File 3781, it's going to be going to the Rules Committee, so it's not affected by the second deadline today, and it has already gone to Rules in the Senate, the companion bill, so I'm not as worried about this bill, and that's why it was at the end of the agenda.
Okay.
So unless there's any questions...
Questions. Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chairman, can we actually just take all these amendments in the bill and put them in our file? Madam Chair, would you
I think you should hold on to them, yeah, because we'll be looking at this again on Thursday. Good point.
Committee members, if you'd take the bill and the amendments and put them in the save file, we can save our staff some work. Any other issues for the committee, Representative Tingestad?
No. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
And members, good discussions. This committee stands adjourned.